Fighting for America.
The USA Freedom Act makes clear the government cannot indiscriminately acquire Americans' call detail records.
This legislation still allows the government to collect everything they want against Americans.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is important that our veterans don't become another political football.
We've not just let them down, we've let them die. This is awful stuff. Somebody ought to be held accountable for it.
Fighting for you.
52.5% are not in favor of the bike lane.
The cyclists don't follow the law. They ride in an unsafe fashion. They don't pay their way.
Boise's bike lane pilot project will continue at least for another week and a half.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Only in America.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm a little nervous. Dave Petzl's in a good mood today at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So you went to Washington. Tell us a little bit about your trip.
Well, I went there to lobby on behalf of small investors, and you know, it's a rather complicated issue, but it really speaks to this administration quite dramatically in how rule of law will be. It doesn't really, we don't need to legislate things. We can go ahead and, make them up. So the Department of Labor came up with a rule that it would have huge, terrible impact on small investors. And you think, what does the Department of Labor have to do with anything? Well, I would agree with that. And actually, the senators and congressmen were very agreeable that it's a very disagreeable thing and are trying to put pressure on the White House to stop it. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy because somebody over there at the Department of Labor has really got a burr in her saddle and just doesn't seem to want to come off of it. It's an interesting coalition, Kevin. You'll find this one surprising. But all the Republicans got it all right off the bat, okay?
Right.
But then the Democrats, the Black Caucus, and the Hispanic Caucus realized that their constituents would not get any financial help in the future. And so they began to call the White House, and this was 2 years ago, and up it has come again, though. So this lady really has a particularly sharp burr in her saddle. She just won't let it go, and the White House apparently is letting it continue on. But it was fascinating to see how a lobbying effort works. You go in, and you kind of get coached in how things are going to work. This is what's going to happen. We're going to walk you over here.
Maybe you'll meet the staff or whatever.
Yeah, we're going to meet with the staff probably. Sometimes you get to meet with the senator, and if the senator or the congressman's name's on there, they'll be you're still unlikely to meet with them. And we found that to be true. They were very busy prior to the Memorial Day weekend, getting some votes before they were in recess. So. We only ended up catching one, and he was on the fly, and that was Senator Risch. So it was very interesting to run meeting to meeting. I was in six meetings that day, and it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
So this was enough to take you away from your business of making money here in the Treasure Valley.
I felt it was pretty important to go, yeah. Actually, I was asked if I could go. Idaho's an important, particularly with CRAPO being on the banking committee. And got to meet with the banking committee's staff. So that was a very powerful meeting. That was a very good one. And we're able to actually give them some information that they really could use to try to sway some of the Democrats on the committee to put pressure on the White House, because this White House does not listen to Republicans at all. So it's a difficult thing for them back there.
So in other words, if you could simplify this, how is this bill going to impact, it's the small investors, so that's everybody really, with a 401k or an IRA or something of that measure?
That's correct. It's actually in that particular area is where it is. So right now we have what's called fiduciary, acting as a fiduciary, and that's where the Department of Labor comes in. So acting as a fiduciary is a higher level. We feel most people in the financial industry do act in a fiduciary capacity anyway. But the reality is this puts in a legal context that disallows any compensation. So if you're not having any compensation, how can you work with people?
Huh.
So, yeah, right? So
well, I like that all already. Dave.
Already, I know. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like what you do here for us.
Right.
It's no compensation.
That's. Do you guys cut me off? So it is. It's a really incredibly important thing because it's not going to affect larger clients because they'll be in a fee-based platform, which is totally different. So anyway, they'll pay fees, but you can't do that on a $5,000 IRA rollover. And Kevin, get this: the average size of an IRA in America is $27,000. That's it.
Right.
So the average person won't even get any help. The average person is a person that needs the most help, and we have to, and they have to have coaches and people encouraging them to put more money away. You know, it's just nutty. It's just nutty. We have a saving problem in this country, and you know, as I told several. What's
right,
that?
I'm sorry. We see it over the weekend. We have people. I was talking to a guy, Brian Smith, not the congressman, but a young man that sells cars at Corwin Ford. Big fan of the show. We were talking about the disposable income, and you know, you have people that, God bless them, they go to the lake, they have this, they have that, and we hope that they're saving appropriately too. But there's a lot of, I don't know where, considering the state of the economy today, you know, where the disposable income comes from.
Right, right. Well,
and I know you're a big believer in save, save, save.
You save first. That's what it is. It's a simple process. I had a long discussion about that with my daughter and her husband this weekend. So it's a it's something that even if you grow up in a household, you have to, like mine, you have to remind yourself all the time. But it is a crisis in this country of saving, and we're taking the very people who need the help. We're making it so that you can't. So all IRAs would be covered under a fiduciary responsibility, which means I can't help them. And, Kevin, we made a commitment ages ago at our office to help anybody that wants help, not just people that have $500,000. So we have dozens, hundreds of people that have $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. And, you know, we want to be able to help them, and we do. And it's not this highly profitable part of our business, but we love getting people the help they need. And now they're trying to take this away. So, I thought it was a very important issue and wanted to go. And I found the whole process fascinating, though, Kevin. I just really did.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's just do a refresher because I thought of you. You know, our company has been purchased here, and we had Billy come in who was giving us all these benefits on, you know, invest with this company, invest with that company. And, of course, Billy got the name of the company that he's servicing wrong. He's got a big corporate account. And, you know, this the parent company of this station is Town Square Media. Well, I kept calling it Times Square. And so I thought to myself, how much should I value Billy's information if he can't get the basics right? Now, again, he's only paid to, you know, make sure that we sign up for his system. But, you know, he talked about the differences between, I guess, a Roth IRA and a regular IRA. And mm-hmm. a Roth, I guess, is post-tax, so you're good to go. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the IRA, and I know you espouse the virtues of it because it's money tax-free, but he said, look, if you have to withdraw it, which I've had to do a few times, or you know, you will eventually pay a penalty on that. How does that work?
Well, the penalty that they have, of course, is a 10% if your penalty prior to age 59 and a half, if you take the money out.
But if you never take it out until you retire, then you're good, right?
That's right. Then we have to pay taxes on it. That's right. And the penalty is there for a very valuable reason, I feel. And I know people feel like they want to use it as a piggy bank, but you can't, or you won't have any money. So in fact, Kevin, 40% of the people don't roll over their 401ks when they leave work. 40%. 40%. It's unbelievable. Fidelity came out with that number not too long ago. It's just a horrifyingly large number. So it is a real problem getting people to keep it in their IRAs. But it's a 10% penalty plus taxes. So if you're paying along in taxes and you're in a fairly low bracket, but then you yank $40,000 out, that could be cause you to hit another tax bracket plus 10% plus the state of Idaho, and suddenly you're losing a third or more of your money.
Well, his thoughts were, so when you do collect your IRA when you retire, you have to pay taxes on it.
That's correct.
Boy, that's a bummer.
Yeah, well,
I heard all the propaganda.
You get to tax deduct it on the way in.
Yeah, but then his argument was that there might be a higher tax rate then. Taxes might, the government or something else might decide that let's say your tax rate now is 25%, it might be 30%, depending on, you know, what money you take out of it. Is that a likely scenario? Could that happen?
Taxes are, you know, over our lifetime, Kevin, have been higher and lower than they are today.
So is there an advantage to getting a Roth IRA, which is post-tax, so you don't get to see that, you know, hey, I've got all this money tax-free, which you really don't. You get it post-tax, and then you throw your money in there.
Yep.
Then the government can't touch it. What do you think?
I think it's a mix. When you're actually trying to put together, when we talk to people about financial planning,
sure,
diversification is large company stocks, small companies, international, U.S., bond stocks, et cetera. We think of diversification that way only. And I think people need to think of diversification in the tax way as well. Meaning, what if all you have access to when you hit retirement is fully taxed money, it limits your options. Meaning, now I need to go buy a car this particular year, so I need an extra $30,000 out. That's a very expensive car now, because everything else you've been living on is fully taxed. If we can balance that between taxable money and tax-free money, like the Roth IRA,
right,
or other money, you're just not even saving it all in an IRA account, then that money becomes much cheaper to access. We always think of it this way. You don't have $1 million in your 401k if it's all regular tax-deductible money. You've got $600,000 because they're going to tax it on the way out.
They're going to get theirs.
They're going to get theirs. If, in fact, though, you have $600 million outside, it's already been taxed, you have $1 million. So it is more valuable to have it outside, but it's harder to get there because you're not getting the tax break.
Right.
Right? So if you're putting $100 away in your 401k, it's only costing you $70.
Right.
So you can save more. So my theory in this is if you think you can afford $100 in your 401k, then save $140. Because that's all it's going to cost you is $100. And then you really are putting more away, and then it works.
Well, you always talk about, though, here at 580KIDO, how do you know, how does a average person in their 401k take a look at, you know, what funds to go into? You've got this fund and that fund. Our friend Dave Ramsey says I go into growth, aggressive growth, international, and there's another one which I missed the notes on his meeting. I mean, how do you determine it? Because, you know, you hear some people, I've had 12% growth for the last 5 years and outdone the market. It's a lifetime of 5% growth and it's going great. Well, that was one of his funds. But on the other hand, you have the regular 401k and you see that massive 3% and you're like, oof, yep. I gotta get some knowledge.
Yeah. People don't have belief in the market, and I don't know why.
80% of the people about. Not in the market.
I know, and I don't know why.
Because all they know the boom's coming.
They're always predicting the boom.
Right.
They've been predicting the boom for the last 100% in the market. I'm serious about that, too. It really, the market's tripled since the bottom. Tripled. So, and the economic news, the boom, as you said, the news is out there. But here's the reality of our life. We've gone, we have booms and busts all the time, both in the economy and the markets. And then the market comes back and goes to all-time highs. So, Kevin, the answer is put it in there, buy growth, buy all stocks. All you have to do is have some faith. Some. Not that happy days are here again, that it's the future so bright you got to wear shades. Only that there is a future. Only that there is a future.
Well, you talk to some people that listen to this program, and they get kind of depressed because they don't feel there is a future, but you got to be informed. Of course, listen to your show is a good example as well to get some free advice, right?
I like to think so. Yeah, that's why.
Well, there's a ringing endorsement of your own work.
Well, I'm practicing some humility here, Kevin. Okay, I'm trying
us.
A little bit. Yes,
that makes one of us. So good. More coming up with our friend Dave Petzo next at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, Dave Petzl with us at 580KIDO, and you're a big fan of CEO pay, aren't you?
Yeah, because it's all so fair.
Well, look, the median CEO pay crosses the $10 million mark. Dave Petzl, you're an honest guy.
Yeah.
Can you defend paying someone $10 million or more in the country today?
Yes. It's easy. Right here. I don't know who that is.
That's a LeBron or Dwayne Wade, yes.
OK, Okay, there he is. Okay, Dwayne Wade. Do you think he makes $10 million? I don't. I think he makes more. He makes more. And, Kevin, his responsibility is to make baskets.
Put a ball through a hoop.
Yeah, that's his full responsibility to the world. CEOs have full responsibility. Or what is it that the movie stars make? Is it 20 million?
20 million's about
20 to
right.
25 million per movie. Per movie.
Hollywood stars, radio stars, it's all the same.
20 million in a movie. What is their responsibility? To hit their lines. Not to keep a company humming and moving along.
A lot of people are entertained by movie stars.
And I'm not saying they shouldn't be paid, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that CEOs have a tremendous amount of responsibility, and very few people can do their job. Very few can.
So you're okay with that?
I am okay with it. I am only okay with it in the sense that as long as boards are active and vibrant and don't let people just run away with it. And that happens from time to time where the board is controlled by the CEO and they do a crappy job and they get overpaid. So that's not good. But when you think about, you know, how much money there is out there when you're on the top of your field, like a basketball player, a baseball player, a movie star, It's amazing to me that we don't pay CEOs with all the responsibility even more.
Oh, more big money for them.
That's right.
All right.
Crush the little guy.
Crush the little guy. I see. Here we have stocks today surging during the open. The S&P hits a new record. The Standard & Poor's, I guess, a good place to put your money today.
The stock market always is, Kevin.
There you go again.
Quit waiting for the boom. Quit waiting for the boom. Invest. Invest.
Dave Petzl with us here as we continue on at 580 KIDO. I've got another point for you. And this is an oldie but a goodie with Kevin Miller and Dave Petzl. How about the Chinese?
Yeah.
We've charged them with cyber crimes. They've sunk a Vietnamese fishing boat off their coast. How in the world can we do business with these folks? And then, Dave Petzl, how in the world can we afford not to do business with them?
Exactly, Kevin. And, you know, and sometimes on our little Chinese segments, I feel a little bit like Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin. Remember those?
Right? Yeah, why do I
just want to go, Kevin, you ignorant?
Why do I? Oh, my gosh. Can you believe this?
I feel a little bit like that. But,
wow.
But in this case, you hit right on it. How can we not do business with them?
Sure.
You touched right on it.
I'm still reeling from being Jane Curtin over here, whatever her name is. Yes, thank you.
Those were such funny lines. We were laughing about that the other day at the office. It's,
right,
you know,
but
such a good...
we have this intertwined relationship with China, and now our government has echoed what Kevin Miller has said for years.
Yeah.
But the Chinese are not good.
No, they're not. They're not.
Then why are we doing business with them?
We have to. We have to. You have to do business. It doesn't mean we have to intertwine ourselves. And that's where I think a lot of companies have run into a lot of trouble, both in piracy. They thought, well, we got 1 billion people in China. Let's go do business with them. We'll open up factories and have cheap Chinese labor. And then what they find is they're having their stuff pirated. They're finding it's more difficult to do business in China. And so it's actually these many businesses have stopped doing business in China. But that's the free market, Kevin. That really is. And it's not, it wasn't the government pushing people. It was a free market saying, hey, let's go open this market up. They did it before they should have. And they got their head handed to them in many cases. The Chinese are very difficult to deal with. And the Chinese are finding their economic ties aren't working well either. And so I think they'll be easier to deal with. But this idea of hacking into us and all is of course, that to me is a governmental issue, and that should be at the highest levels and not tolerated at all.
Dave Petzl, what should we look out for this week?
You know, Kevin, I'll tell you, this market is, I don't sound like a broken record, but there is nowhere else to invest, and the market is continuing to attract more and more and more money into it. The only thing that right now are the things that you just don't really see. So that's what's going to hit this market is something we're not sure of. The things that we are sure of are continued issues, if you will, in Ukraine and things like that. So that's about all that's hanging there, and you see how the market has reacted to it now. It's still marching to all-time highs. day after day, even in spite of the Ukraine crisis, what's going on with China, the Chinese slowdown. But really, the market is usually hit when we take a hit. It's hit by something out of left field that people can't really think, that really isn't on the map right now.
Well, we're going to ask you to put your headphones on for a minute. Speaking of left field, it's been a while since we've talked to this young man, and we'll see if those work. If those don't, then okay. We'll go to Liberal Steve at 580KIDO.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was out and purchased a few items yesterday. I'm sorry, on Memorial Day. But the stores were open. Only opportunity I had.
Is there a point to this?
Yes, there's a point to this, Mr. Miller. It's beyond your comprehension sometimes. But I bought some lights, directional lights, by General Electric, who I have stock in. And the lights were made in China. So I went around and checked, I won't name the company, but it's a very large company, where warehousing, where people walk in and shop the big shelves. And I could not find an item that was made in America. I started looking at item after item. I even bought a little gas filter I got a couple sit-on tractors, and the gas filters were made in Israel. So what I'm saying is, this is universal. China's not going anywhere. We're not going to war with China. China's not going to go to war with someone that feeds them. And America pretty much feeds them, and other countries feed them, too, that are liberated countries. So they're not going to start something that would shut them down and shut down corporations like General Electric. So people got to quit beating the war drums.
Oh, yeah, just let them keep stealing from us. Yeah, that's great.
See, that's naive. They're not stealing from us.
The government says they are. Your government, your administration.
Yes, my administration. But stealing, it's kind of like, how do you define is? I just want to say, invest in stocks. China's not going away. The corporations, iPhone, have moved a lot of things to China, South America. India creates 90% of the powders that we use in the majority of our pharmaceuticals. So we have to work together as an earth, as a worldwide corporation. And there still is the United States of America, but we have to invest. And I just wanted to bring that point across.
This call has really gone nowhere. You're rambling.
Well, no, I'm not rambling. I'm saying quit beating up on China.
Yeah, okay, buddy. We'll send you to Shanghai. How about that?
You stay fired up, you guys.
All right, there Thanks. You have it. Can you comment on that at all?
No. He's. I think
you're going to agree
case,
with him.
I know it's shocking.
You're going to agree with Liberal Steve.
I know. To a degree, I guess. No, he's wrong on some aspects. Not everything is made overseas. We do a lot. We do a lot of stuff here. Okay. So you and I have talked about this, the resurgence of manufacturing in the United States and the future resurgence in the United States. We'll talk about that next time, but that's our big future, is the fact that we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas and manufacturing is moving back to the U.S.
More coming up with Dave Pezzo this Saturday, 8 to 10. You're listening to 580KIDO.
If the Republicans want to make a comeback, they better get rid of their far-right Christian. They better get rid of the Tea Party.
Hey, Johnny, be quiet.
Kevin, stay fired up. We love you out there. We're glad you're there. We're glad you're doing a good job.
Over now. Get forth.
Must-hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, I bet you say that to all the girls that come on.
All right, 580KIDO. Love that to Emily Wither clip. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. A couple things going on. One inside, one outside. We'll attempt to break this down. Coming up this week, a big announcement on what you can do to help out some of our friends in need. Once again, we'll be donning the mantle of Miller's mission, and we'll be telling you about that coming up very, very soon. Want to thank everyone who has contributed to that effort, and of course there is the need that continues, and we're doing our very best to highlight it and to do what we can for folks that need a helping hand. That's what makes our area so great. We're so blessed to humbly be a part of it, and that'll be coming up this week. But back to two issues. Number one, we'll start with this. It's been a while since we've brought this up. The battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. You've got an article by Popke on politics. stating that, you know, perhaps Russ Fulcher, Senator Fulcher, could in fact be the new chair of the state GOP if Barry Peterson decides to step down or maybe will that to him. Governor Otter still looking for a chairman that he can get along with. Congressman Labrador stating to Governor Otter and to his supporters that you better consider, you'd better comprehend, you'd better work with conservatives, or A.J. Blukoff could, in fact, be the next governor here in the Gem State. And you know, I had a lot of people over the weekend, some activists and such, give me a call, and I love talking politics, and they were yapping to me about, well, you know, Kevin Miller, we're going to have a Democratic governor. I don't see that. And quite frankly, maybe I have a built-in bias, but I haven't seen much from Mr. Blukoff. Yes, TV ads and social media and bashing Governor Otter gets you so far. But unless you come on the People's Show, unless you, as Keith Allred did, have the guts of Keith Allred, to come on this program and to make your case, I find your argument not very compelling. And then we have the idea that the conservatives are going to take over the Republican Party and liberate it. You know, will the establishment make that happen or let that happen? These are all telling things, and I think this is all a good thing, because what's the worst thing that we always complain about? It's the status quo. So if you have people involved, if you have people rolling, then I think that's a good thing, and it's a good thing for the body politic. Also, the other topic that we are discussing is the situation involving this issue involving at 580-5436, the comments of one of the shooting victims, and here's what he had to say about your right to keep and bear arms.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
When will the insanity stop? That's a good issue. Let's go to Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Good.
Two quick things. Number one, I don't think that we have what you would call a heart and soul of the Republican Party. I think what we have is two factions that need to come together at some point in time, and everybody has to be reasonable and rational. We'll find out what happens up the convention, but certainly the showing this time in the election tells people that the Tea Party is alive and well, and it is growing, and it is getting stronger. Maybe some of the strategies haven't been right for this election, but then again, Butch has been in there for a long time. But I think at some point in time, we will be able to reach some agreement and try to unite the party, and I do think Russ Fulcher may be a very big part of that. The second thing I wanted to talk about is this baloney about it's the guns, it's the guns, it's the guns. It's not the guns. You know, we waste billions of dollars every year on government projects, and we spend very little on mental health. You've got people out there who take drugs at such early ages, and now they've got them literally. 10,000 kids are taking drugs at the age of 3 and 4 years old, and this is for ADHD. I had a grandson who was diagnosed with that early. And as it turned out, it wasn't even ADHD. My daughter spent the time to take him to the right physicians. They did take care of it. It wasn't Asperger's problem. He just got married last month, and he's now going to be finishing his college degree. So these things can be taken care of, but you can't use the quick fix on this. You know, everybody thinks you can find the answer to the problem in a prescription bottle. That's not the case. Years ago, you had therapy. You had people who would sit down and work with kids. Nowadays, it's only the wealthy that can afford this kind of therapy, and it has to be spread, and people have to learn that there are alternatives to these drugs. So outside of that, I guess I'm pretty well done.
Wow, well, I'm glad we could provide an avenue for your talking points.
Well, hey, listen, you know, you're such a wonderful person. You got such a great show here. I've been listening to you since, well, let's see, it was 6:05 this morning.
Now, you do agree with me, and you and I got into it on Saturday, that the governor did win.
Don't start with me again. Yes, he won, okay? But when you win with 51% of the vote, that's not a real win. That's telling you there's a lot of dissension in the ranks. If more people had been informed about the issues in the rural areas, I don't think you would have had that kind of a vote. it would have been even closer.
And what do you make of Mike Simpson, the governor, riding on Mike Simpson's coattails to the win?
Well, does he have any place else to ride except his horse? Think about that. Where is he going to ride?
I'm just saying.
I mean, he's lost a very good portion of the Republican Party, you know, on the conservative issues. He's just not dealing with them.
Do you believe that the article in the paper, Popke on Politics, was right on in describing your situation?
In some ways it is. I have my druthers about Popke. He likes to write about what he wants to write about and never really always writes about the truth and what's really happening.
He keeps thinking Blukoff's going to barrel right in.
Hey, look, it's going to be a tough battle for the governor if he can't unite the party. But as far as Popke goes, he goes down to a GOP meeting, and he sits there and listens. And then as soon as they come around to take a collection, Popke's gone. He doesn't spend the time talking to the people. He just accepts whatever comes out of their mouths while they're at the podium. You need to get down into the nitty-gritty of what's happening within the party. It's not just what you hear on the stage. There's a lot of different things happening. And I think, again, we can reunite this party. We can get it put back together. But there's going to have to be some changes on the other side, and they're going to have to understand you've got to do some of the things we want to do, not just what you want to do. That's what it's all about, compromise. We don't have any of that in our
You're willing to compromise.
On certain things, sure. You know, you give a little to get a little.
Look, this is the program where, you know, and you told me about the Fulcher for chairman, and I didn't say anything. Of course, Popke broke it the next day, so this is the show where all these issues are discussed, so we appreciate it.
I think there are a lot of things out there that are potentials and possibilities for this state. But everybody's going to have to learn how to sit down at the same table, should I say the table that never existed for the healthcare exchange.
Well, they can sit down at my table.
Well, that's true. They can sit down at almost any table, but
you'd like to publicly negotiate with the governor transparency on this program, would you not?
I'd love to.
Well, there
you
have it.
I'd love to sit down with anybody that's willing to talk. The problem is getting them to sit down and talk.
Well,
most of the time, all you do is get their aid.
We'll see if we can work on that for you.
Well, if you can do that, you'd be a great person in history of Idaho, especially in the last couple of years.
So we're here to serve you.
I don't think so.
I got to run, Tea Party Bob. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. There you have it. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Still looking for your reaction to this.
They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop?
The insanity of gun rights, gun ownership, campus carry, you decide. 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to traffic.
Weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to Jim in Star.
Woo! Hey, buddy. I know I got to make it quick, but this is just...
Did I tell you to make it quick?
No, but I'm going to because I know we're almost out of time. So here's the thing. You're Mr. Politics. You understand it a hell of a lot better than I do. I have this feeling that, you know what, Butch is 72. Butch is a good guy, but Butch probably wants to retire.
Why do you bring up his age? Are you an ageist?
Hey, no, but there's just the truth is this. You know what? He's done his thing.
If he did his thing, you wouldn't have run for re-election.
No, I think here's what I'm hoping, and you could be the guy to do it. I am wondering if, even though Fulcher didn't win the primary, what if Butch says, you know what, the right thing to do and what our founding fathers would have done is pass the torch. It's time for me to say,
that's
hey,
the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard of. Why would he spend over $600,000 to pass the torch?
I think it would be a class act and would go down in history for
history,
our future
generations. And if I backed Butch Otter and I gave him $600,000, I'd have an issue with him. If I wanted Russ Fulcher, I would have spent that money on Russ Fulcher.
Hey, listen, people.
Maybe in the land of goblins and unicorns and rainbows, Jim, that makes sense, but not here.
boy, here we go. Well, people change their minds. And you know what? I think for our state here of Idaho, what we need is some fresh blood and some fresh ideas and someone with a little bit more.
Those are ageist statements, and I will not stand for them. Fresh blood, code words for he's too old. Look at the people of the Supreme Court. Look at other people. Who are you to decide who's too old?
Let's look at some of those people. Let's look at a Ruth Bader Ginsburg? If we want to talk about something like that? Now,
apparently the Constitution says she's up to it, so you've got 25 seconds for what's the deal.
Here's the deal. The right thing to do is put in Russ Fulcher because he's...
You had your chance and you missed it.
He's got the right idea.
You had your chance and you missed it.
You had your chance too, but we didn't miss it. So why don't you invite the two in and see if he's going to concede?
Who's going to concede?
Butch Otter.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, even for you.
Hey, it's ridiculous, but it's worth a try.
Well, there's not much else to do this summer.
It's just like that gal in Dumb and Dumber said, not a chance in a million. And what is it?
Oh, my gosh, you have to go.
I got a chance then.
Thank you.
Good night.
Quickly to traffic at 580.